Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And just to remind folks, if there's a segment that you miss, or maybe you come in, you start listening part of the way through, we do our very best to make sure that we put up the podcast on Monday Night Talk's little link. Actually, you just go to 959WATD.com, scroll down, look for Monday Night Talk, click on it, and it'll take you all to our recent podcast, or we're available on iTunes. You go into the iTunes store, search for Monday Night Talk, and you'll be able to see all of our latest and greatest segments, probably including this one. We have joining us right now, he is the managing editor of The Enterprise. Of course, it is a suburban newspaper that covers the South Shore. We have Mr. Damish joining us. How are you, sir?
Kevin, great to be back with you. I've missed you.
What is going on with yourself, my friend?
Well, we're just doing what I do, maintaining the Enterprise newspaper and our website, enterprisenews.com, and keeping the news fresh. And I have recently brought back my weekly column, which I have written off and on for the last decade or so.
Right.
Go ahead.
I have to say, well, the one thing I do notice, though, is it doesn't say, it doesn't, while you do the commentary, it doesn't have that catchy title that it once had.
Coffee and Damish, yes. And the reason being, Kevin, is that was sort of a, back then I wrote a lighter column and I try to keep it, funny and, but now I'm writing about more serious topics and more serious local issues, and I thought just my name would suffice, and I'd leave the coffee and Damish, murkiness out.
So I have to ask you: when I reached out to you and said, "Hey, you haven't been on in a while. Would love to talk to you." You and I have had many a conversation on the radio about regional issues, about things going on in the city of Brockton. And I know that in a couple of your Sunday columns, because that's when folks can check it out, right on the front page of the local, there were a couple of articles that actually caught my eye. And I believe you and I having a conversation, you said that there, you've tempered this article, this column, towards people, towards the real issues that are going on. Kind of give me your thoughts on, taking a different direction with this column.
Sure, and I appreciate the chance to sort of explain that. I brought it back to try to give some notice and some publicity to people who might not normally get it. A lot of local people doing great things, a lot of things happening locally that, frankly, if the Enterprise didn't write about it or if I didn't expound upon it in my column, would get no attention and would not get its due. I try to write about, first I try to write about people, local people who are in some way making a difference or making an impact, or people we should just know about, like Harry Owens. I wrote about Harry Owens of Brockton recently, a long time Crime Watch volunteer, and he's called the father of Brockton Crime Watch. Harry passed away a few weeks ago. A lot of people in Brockton never heard of Harry Owens because he did the largest part of his work maybe 10, 20 years ago, and the new generation here might not have heard of him. So I thought it was proper that I write about him. I knew him well, gave him an award one time as the Enterprise champion of the city, and I thought it was, proper that he gets his due and people know. One of the reasons why Brockton is safer to this day is because of this man who they may not have heard of.
Mm. Well, you've written a couple of touching pieces, though, and actually, I believe that of all the articles that you've done recently, at least of this year in 2014, has there been any that have generated comments from folks, whether they put comments on your website or maybe they might reach out to you? Because I wouldn't be surprised if you've got a lot of feedback from folks with some of the stuff that you've written.
Yes, I have. And I try to write about things that touch me because I live here. I've worked here for a quarter century. And things that I feel and things that touch me, I try to bring to other people's attention. Some of those stories involve some local people who have been sick and passed away. I wrote about a Middleborough boy, Jesse Hekala. His story is fairly well known. Now, he passed away earlier this year. Very sad death, but I tried to look at his life and what his mother and his family and his community have done for him and since his death, and try to let people know that there's a very sad story here, but there's also a story of triumph and of a family and a community and a region coming together. And when I was reading that story in the paper, I was touched, and I realized others would be touched, and people need to know that this is happening. People are doing this. People are turning bad into good, and not always getting the proper due or proper notice. So, you know, I wrote about him, and that was well received, and I think that's an important role that I can serve at this newspaper, is help point out such instances where there is a lot of good happening that might have come from some really bad and tragic happenings. So that's what I try to do in that column.
Yeah, and just to kind of to digress back to Mr. Owens, who actually, in your column, you note that he died on March 30th while he was fighting pneumonia at the age of 89. But you also kind of in the beginning, you know, probably I want to say about the third graph down, you kind of give an instant to, you know, a situation that took place at a woman's home salon where, you know, an incident happened. Basically, it was a midday murder. And this took place right around 1996. And that, you know, as always, when a major incident happens on the South Shore in an urban city like Brockton, you get a lot of the Boston news people who will come down and say stuff. And kind of paint, they'll paint such a dark picture. And I think you kind of highlighted something that a particular writer had written and said something about the city being a dying city. And kind of that enters your introduction to Harry, which I thought was pretty good.
Right. Once again, I you know, Harry's death touched a lot of people. But I tried to look back at the good that he brought, and that was one instance. I remember back then in 96, when this poor woman was killed inside of her home hair salon parlor. And, you know, at the time, the police were not saying that it was a targeted attack. So people were thinking there's a homicidal maniac on the streets, someone, you know, daring enough to bust into a home midday and gun down some unsuspecting person. It was a tragic killing, but it was not a random attack, it turned out. And I recall at the time Harry and others, you know, pressing the police officials to provide more information on that instance, and eventually they did, and that made a big difference in how Brockton was perceived and how Brockton handled it. But yes, once again, I tried to look at an instance that might have been bad and the good that came out of it, and Harry was one of the reasons why some good came out of that. And that was a springboard as well, Kevin, at the time, for Crime Watch, which I think Crime Watch around shortly after that really peaked to where there were 25,000 members thereabout. It really grew. I don't know if it's as big as it was, as big as it is now as it was then, but back then, in the wake of that instance and that awful incident, it really blossomed into a I think 25,000 plus more group that made a huge difference. You know, that's what I wrote about. I tried to make sure people knew, you know, the role that Harry Owens played back then.
Sure. And just so folks know, we're speaking with the Enterprise newspaper managing editor, Steve Damish. We're talking with him about his weekly column and some of the things that he touches upon that may take place in the area. One last note in regards to Mr. Owen, and it's something that you kind of closed out your column with. in today's day and age of taking the selfie and not being able to get enough exposure the way our youth at times, you know, will, you know, try to get exposure for themselves. You basically painted Mr. Owen as somebody who, if there was one thing he feared, he did not like, you know, he's a humble man. He did not want the limelight. And you actually, it took you guys a while for him to accept an award that you had given him in 2004, correct?
Yeah, there were several people who, we had the Enterprise Champion of the City Award. It was quite the award, and we had a black tie event held at City Hall. Maybe someday this event might return. I think it was one of the city's best events. Mm. But the Enterprise would highlight a woman and a man who have made a significant difference in the city. And I remember Harry and others who won the award, I remember me trying to talk them into coming to receive it. Harry Owens, I had the situation with him. He didn't want to come up and receive this before several hundred people. Father Jim Flavin won the award one year, and he wouldn't even come to City Hall. And I remember being on the phone with him for maybe 15, 25 minutes, trying to convince him to come over to City Hall to receive his award. He said, no, and I'm not coming over. I don't want the award. I don't deserve it. He came over eventually and got it. So, yes, people like that we like to honor with awards, and I like to try to recognize and honor in my column if I'm able to.
How about situational things? I believe in March there was an article that I saw. I know one thing that I know that the Enterprise has pinpointed, you've won awards for, that the conversation is continuing because it's still prevalent, and that is our opioid epidemic, the drug overdose epidemic, and I want to cite from one of your columns, an epidemic of inaction, where you basically talk about what's going on with this, and that it seems as though, you know, maybe there's not as much going on as there should be in light of the festering drug epidemic.
Well, frankly, you know, from our point of view, we wished more had been done several years ago by local legislators, by local powers that be, and by state officials. We brought this, we know what's happening now with the heroin overdoses. It happens too often. We hear about it daily, and the region seems to be responding in a bigger fashion nowadays, but, you know, we wrote about this 8 years ago.
Right.
And I think when we did, we were hoping and waiting for a local legislator or a local police official or local legal enforced law enforcement figure or leader to take the issue and run with it. And it didn't really happen, and this is the result. Mm. The result is 8 years later, it's worse. And, you know, it's shocking when I think about it. It took 7 to 8 years for Rockton public safety officials to get the anti-overdose drug Narcan in their arsenal.
Right.
I mean, we wrote about this 8 years ago. Narcan was around several years ago. Some other towns and communities had it. 5 to 6 years ago, in Brockton, which, you know, was clearly at the epicenter of the issue based on all the research and reporting we did, did not have it. So that sort of speaks to, you know, the inaction that I was writing about.
Right. Well, you had basically mentioned it, you know, if I may, you know, that it's, you know, this should, you know, this whole sickness shouldn't have been something that took anybody by surprise, let alone the Department of Public Health, the governor, any of the legislators in the Senate or the House, but had said something in regards to David Rosenblum, who, you know, actually, you know, somebody who, I guess, appeared in your Wasted Youth series and kind of foretold that this was something we're going to have to watch.
I wrote about him. He came down. He was nice enough to come down to a conference that was run by the Plymouth County DA's office down at Massasoit Conference Center.
Right.
And Rosenblum came down and stood at the head of a room and talked to a bunch of parents and others about about the forthcoming epidemic, and he said some pretty scary stuff that night, but apparently it wasn't scary enough to prompt action. And I remember that night because of what was said, what was not done, and who was not there. A lot of city officials did not go to that meeting. They were not convinced it was a big deal. They were not convinced that Brockton needed to deal with this epidemic or this issue. I believe we had maybe two city councilors attend. I think maybe one school committee member, if even. Very poor attendance by the city officials, and this is the result. 8 years later, we were in the midst of this heroin epidemic. The result is because, you know, we knew this was coming. If we were warned by some of the foremost experts in the country, David Rosenblum is one of the foremost experts on addiction, not just in this region, but in the country. And he actually ran the Addiction Center in New York City, the National Addiction Center, for a while. Mm. And here he is telling us what's coming down the road. And number one, Brockton officials weren't there. Number two, even after that, nothing was really done. And I was hoping for something to start locally, really to spark some action locally. And, you know, I was disappointed to see nothing really happen. It is finally happening, thankfully, but it took a lot more people dying than needed to for this to happen.
Let's... I want to kind of one last particular column, which when I read it, I'm a guy who knows what's going on in Brockton. My job, for other than being a popular talk show host here on 95.9 WATD, but also my job is to be the Brockton correspondent for our award winning newsroom.
Sure.
And so I'm a guy who knows what's going on. You know that because you and I have done a lot of work together over the past number of years. And I thought your article earlier this month, The Battle for Brockton, ultimately hit the nail on the head. It's something that folks have whispered and talked about. I go into coffee shops and I hear the conversations, but this is the first time that I've actually seen it in print. Where someone, basically what you're basically talking about is, you know, you got a new police chief that's in town. You have a battle between a lot of the city officials, the mayor and the city council. And the whole idea is to, you know, let's put the fighting aside and kind of get to the task at hand. Never mind worrying about running for a seat next year if you are, in fact, you know, if the whispers are in fact true in regards to maybe a couple of other city councilors, but the fact that there's an ongoing battle when there's so much that needs to be done.
It got messier than it needed to get, Kevin. And I know you want to understand Brockton, and I appreciate your the way you cover the city and the way you understand it. Brockton is a very tricky city.
Yep.
It's hard to understand. It took me years to learn it, even though I grew up not too far away from here. But it got a lot messier than it needed to at the outset of a new administration. There were mistakes made on both sides, meaning the mayor's side and the council's side. But the taxpayers didn't need to get this messy for the taxpayers. We didn't need, you know, all these people taking various others to court to try to satisfy this or settle that or to block this appointment or to get this money. To see, you know, city officials having to expend resources, time, money to go to court to resolve issues that ultimately affect the constituents the most is a bit disappointing. So I think I was just trying to point out that what was going on, and maybe it was time to give the new powers that be. And not just the mayor's office, but school committee, council, various boards, police department, a chance.
Mm.
Because this city needs some work,
right,
frankly. And there's been a lot that we've talked about for years accomplishing in this city. I think people are ready to do it. I think they just need to unify, get behind some people, and start working together. It's a cliche, but it does apply to Brockton, because Brockton has been stagnant for a while. You can always point out this development or that business or this new business, but overall, Brockton needs a good kick in the pants, I think. And I think it's happening, and I just want to make sure people realize that what's at stake. If it doesn't happen now, or if it takes another several years to happen, some impetus.
Again, we are speaking with Enterprise Managing Editor Steve Damish, and we're talking about his weekly Sunday column that most you always can find on the front cover of the local section of the paper. Kind of staying on course with this, I think there's towards the end of it. I mean, you kind of, you know, while the mayor has made his mistakes and elected officials make mistakes, the general fact that there's an individual who got elected and it seems as though a lot of folks are resisting change. Give me your thoughts as to, you know, trying to say, you know, this is a guy, give him a chance. Give him a chance to either fail or to succeed.
Yeah, and I think maybe I was trying to say give the city a chance to either fail or succeed. I think, you know, I might have mentioned the mayor, I might have mentioned the council, but I meant the city. It's time. It's time for Brockton to move on, to resolve its issues. It's time to address the crime issue, you know, square. Enough's enough with what's been happening on that front. It's time to either, you know, drop two-way traffic or bring it on to Main Street. We've been talking about some of these issues for so long, decades, and it's time to either, you know, drop them or complete them and move on to the next. And that's the message I was trying to impart, for the most part, in that piece. I think what happened with the mayor and the council and the transition was unavoidable. Frankly, you have a new guy coming in, and an essential outsider, because for the longest time we had people as mayor who were either there for a long time, like Jack Unis, or who had been on the council for a long time, like
Linda Balzotti,
Harrington, and Linda Balzotti. You know, highly regarded, well liked, accomplished individuals. And then suddenly you have somebody who is in without that, you know, resume and without that track record. So I think there was bound to be some growing pains. And I think the message I wanted to get across is great. They've happened. It's been, you know, 2 months now. Let's move on, because time is a wasting and there is a lot to do.
Anything you want to say? We got a couple of minutes left. Anything you want to say in regards to the column and any visions that you have for maybe you got pieces that are already in your head that you've already kind of plotted out for, you know, maybe the summertime or maybe later this year when we start having the state races, or do you take it week by week?
Well, I most of the stuff I write, I sort of wait. I sort of get from somebody else. They recommend, hey, did you hear about this person? Did you hear about that person? So I'd love suggestions. And our website, we're trying to make our website, enterprisenews.com, and our wickedloco.com site more interactive. We have a new, platform now, and there might be some confusion. It is free for the first 15 items you view, and most people don't view more than 15. This green screen pops up and does tell you intermittently that you can sign up now or you can go back to where you came from, and you still have it, but it does tell you still have 10 more free views.
Right.
So we've gotten slammed by people thinking the enterprisenews.com is no longer free. It still is free for 15 views, but after that, we like to have you pay 99 cents to view it. And that's because collecting news and writing news and reporting news, as you and your station know very well, Kevin.
Yes, sir.
Takes a lot of resources. It's like having a bakery and going out in the back room and making all your muffins, cakes, donuts, and croissants, and bring them out to the front every day and handing them away.
Yep.
Eventually, the bakery is going to disappear. And I think, you know, places like WATD and the Enterprise, we are an essential part of this community, and we're hoping to stay around for a long time and help cover, connect, and share information that people need to know so they can make informed decisions. So that is why we are, you know, starting to charge after 15 views a very moderate fee to keep our very important bakery open.
I like the analogy, the bakery, and you know that because I'm a guy who has a couple of extra pounds on me. So I kind
of
connect with the whole the bakery thing.
All of us do, and I'm sorry to go from the column to that. It's something we're all facing in the media is how to keep the content coming at a very
quick rate,
small price.
Yeah, well, small price, and also the immediacy of, you know, today's news cycle is so much faster than it was 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago. There's such an immediacy, and you don't have the same journalist out there 20 years ago that were out there on beats covering stuff. You have, you know, bloggers and people who want to put out stuff where you have, you know, folks who are trained in this, who went to school for this, who are professionals, and, you know, you hire them because of that. And, of course, you know, you're going to, you know, you don't give the paper away for free. It's not a weekly. It's something you guys do 7 days a week, 365 days a week, 365 days a year.
Well, think of the debates that we have done together, the station and the newspaper.
Yep.
Think of the product we put out every day. Eventually, something has to support that.
Correct.
Because, you know, if we're not here, those debates and the I'm reading today's paper. Today we have the Bridgewater Random Regional High School page. Yesterday was a Boxer Roundup page. Without the Enterprise, those pages don't exist. That news is not there. And without WATD, you're not getting your Brockton news report and the region's news report. It doesn't happen. So you lose a valuable commodity. And we're trying to keep that going without too much of a financial burden on local people.
Well, I want to thank you for being a part of the show this evening. Anything you want to say in closing, my friend?
No, I look forward to doing more with you, Kevin. I appreciate people's input, and if they have stories to share with us, they can email me, sdamish@enterprisenews.com. I'm happy to hear story ideas.
There he is, Mr. Steve Damish, managing editor of The Enterprise, and we're talking about his weekly column in the Sunday paper. We will step aside, and when we come back, I promise you, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.